This is Tuesday, 25th of February, Centurion. I'm sitting here with former Detective Warrant Officer Drummond Hammond. He was attached to the Organized Crime Unit, Intelligence Unit, down in what used to be Lowveld, what's now Mpumalanga. Which area were you?
Pretoria, Northern Transvaal.
You were in Northern Transvaal, Pretoria. I would not see.
Yeah.
Okay. Drummond, what I really want to talk to you about is the intelligent networks running from South Africa to the neighboring countries. Did the ANC, as an organization, used it as for crime purposes, or how was these sort of smuggling routes used during those days?
Well, look, individuals may have smuggled, but not as an organization. We never ever picked up information that the ANC per se were smuggling, but individuals did, okay, but that was for their own gain. We all used the same routes. The smugglers, the South African intelligence services in those days, all of them together, and the ANC. They used to smuggle their weapons on those routes. Your smugglers would obviously bring in the drugs and the stolen vehicles in and out, and we use those routes to, you know, catch up on them. So we all use the same routes, but the ANC per se weren't smugglers. They were fighting a revolutionary war, but they weren't smuggling. There were individuals that we identified and targeted for smuggling purposes, but that was for own gain.
Were there any well-known people involved in it?
Well, just off the top of my head, I remember a very, very big soccer boss. He was involved, but I don't know how connected in those days he was with ANC. He may be connected with ANC now, but that is probably also for his own, for personal reasons. In those days, he did it for his own pocket, purely for his own pocket. And we actually linked him to a murder that took place in Swaziland, and the Kenyan police actually put us on the on his trail, and he was connected directly to a lot of the big drug smugglers.
Tell me, did the South African intelligence services in those days, did they use these smuggling routes? Did they use the crime syndicates for intelligence gathering as well?
Oh yes, both of us did. The ANC would use it for getting their stuff over because it's easy, the guys know the routes and that, and we used it to catch them. In our job, we used the smuggling routes to identify the smugglers and then mail them. But they were the prostitutes, as always. They're the prostitutes in the industry. Wherever there's a buck to be made, they'll make it. And yeah.
So it meant it was a means to an end to get
yes.
intelligence.
Oh yes. Oh okay. Yes.
Thank you very much. It's Tuesday, 24th of February. I'm sitting in Centurion with former Detective Sergeant, Detective Warrant Officer Drummond Hammond. Who was attached to the Northern Transvaal Intelligence Unit of the Organized Crime Section of the South African Police. He operated from Pretoria. Drummy, I just want to find out, there was one guy, well-known and very mysterious guy, who was involved in your unit. His nickname was Dad. Can you tell me what was his real name, where he comes from, and tell us a bit more about Dad, because he was a very charismatic person.
Dad's real name is Steve Burnett. Came from England. He was in the British Army, and he ended up coming out to South Africa and working originally with Operation Barnacle, and then we recruited him into the South African Police as a deep cover agent, where he did sterling work. And then after he was the security branch, basically, after the 1990 unbanning of the ANC and release of Madiba, we recruited him over to OCRU as our, he was our very first agent, and he was absolutely brilliant, arguably the best agent we ever had at OCIU, and he was responsible for a lot of our very big and major busts that we had. He sat in jail for us, just the mark of the man. He sat in jail for the South African government for about 3.5 years in Botswana after botching an attempt on the life of Ronnie Watson. And he never blew his cover there, never told anyone who he was really working for. He confused everyone because he told the Brits he was working for. He was a loner. He told the Botswanans he was working for the Brits. He told the South Africans he was working for the Botswanans. So he just confused the whole issue. Everyone suspected he worked for the South Africans, which he did. No one ever acknowledged it, and he never blew his cover. And because of him sitting in jail, we actually got into, that's how we called them, Sissy Fordo.
Say again?
Sissy Fordo. He was
how do you spell his name?
C-I-S-S-E, mm-hmm. And his surname F-O-D-E. And Sissy Fordo was recognized as the biggest trafficker in the world of mandrakes. He was known as Fordo of Nairobi. And we nailed him because of Dad, just because he was in jail at the right time, and by pure coincidence, happened to sit in the same cell as Fordo's brother-in-law. And he introduced him to Fordo, and that made a huge impact. I mean, we turned the mandrakes price overnight, the street price, from 5 rand bulk to 15 rand bulk, just because of that and because of the work that he did. But in any case, going back to Watson, to Ronnie, I'm not sure if he was actually tasked to bump Ronnie off, or if he just decided to do it on his own and worked independently to prove a point. But the big thing was, he wanted to first talk to Ronnie and find out what he knew, and then bump him off. And of course, it became a bit of a joke, because he said, you know, when I met the Oak and I was pointing my gun at him, I realized he did no military training, because he kept on calling my pistol a revolver, and he couldn't figure out how it worked when he eventually got it off me. And he said, then he just beat me shitless and had them arrest me. And years afterwards, after the election, or even before the election, in 94, Dad expressed to me that he'd love to meet Ronnie, and no TRC or any big thing, just say to Ronnie, look, you know, all's fair in love and war, sorry what I did. And he never got the opportunity, because obviously he died prematurely and before we could set up a meeting with Mr. Watson. But that was one of his great dreams in life, was to meet Ronnie and say, look, you know, all's fair, but I cocked it up, but I'm glad nothing happened to either of us. And yeah, he was responsible for the bringing down of Sissy Fordo, of a very big Chinese triad murder syndicate, we can carry on, Sonofka. The Sonofka gang, I must think now, there's so many of them. And international, he worked on an international cocaine operation for us, the very first international, purely international cocaine operation we ever did. He worked on that with me. So yeah, Dad was great. He was a good policeman, very dedicated, very professional. And he loved this country. He wanted to do the best, and I think that's what caught up to him, because he was too professional, and he loved the country too much, and it was as if he was spat out, and that's what led to his untimely death.
How did he die?
He bumped himself with a Glock 45. Yeah, he bumped himself out. Yeah, he topped himself. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Pleasure. Thank you. Chop, chop, chop.